Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Total Gamers. I'm your host Colin here with Ashton.
Hey guys, how you doing this week?
We got a few left over from last week, so we're going to go ahead and get into them. Gameplay leaks online for Spider-Man 3.
Yep, so leakers have dug through the hacked Insomniac files released last year and found that Sydney Moon will be playable in Spider-Man 3. A new video shows her in action swinging through New York City in a costume inspired by her modern redesign. Spider-Man 3, according to the internal roadmap, is expected to launch in 2028. Last year, a ransomware group hacked into Insomniac and stole 1.6 terabytes of data, which we talked about. And then it said leaking it online. And it says, last week, data miners uncovered our first look at Marvel's Spider-Man 3, complete with pictures of a new hero called Silk. We now have our first look at her in action as she swings through New York City. So we have Peter Parker, Miles Morales, and Cindy Moon now, apparently, in Spider-Man 3. But I don't know if Peter will still be playable because he may. I'm not sure how the end of Spider-Man 2 ends, but Rowling said that Peter may retire, so I'm not sure how true that is, but
I mean, is it like a Into the Spider-Verse situation, or have you watched that movie yet?
I haven't watched a Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 3.
Fair, fair.
I just I've seen the previews for the other ones and I'm not a fan of Tom Holland, so just I don't watch
Yeah.
him. Tobey Maguire all the
Well,
way.
the Spider-Verse one, it's like an animated one. It's
Oh.
a cool animated movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, but they do like obviously like a multiverse situation. So you have all the different or all kinds of different Spider-Men, women, everything else in that movie. And like one of the realities is, Peter is no longer technically Spider-Man. So I guess that is a very real possibility. That's why I asked if you had watched the movie or not, which I mean that's not really a spoiler in it.
Oh no.
Because you think in a multiverse situation every single scenario is possible.
Right.
Even situations where some of the, main Spider-Men of today's generations are dead,
Yeah.
that's happened in every what if situation.
Right.
But so I mean it's not really too far of a stretch since, like I said, their animated and comic books have pretty much hit on every aspect of what if. But yeah, I mean it'll be cool. I'm surprised they skipped over Gwen over top of a different
See,
Spider designed for female first.
so that's what I was thinking. I've heard of Gwen. I've never heard of Cindy Moon. I have no idea who Silk or Cindy Moon is.
Yeah.
But
That's what threw me off. I'm just like, okay, I'm just like, I hadn't heard of Silk either, and I'm just like, well, I'm just like, I've heard of Glenn. I'm just like, but that's not Silk.
no, and the only reason I've heard of Gwen is because like the little kid cartoons have her in it. So that, like Zachary watches, that's the only reason I know who Gwen is. Other than that, I just Peter Parker is Spider-Man to me. I mean, I know Miles Morales, the game, but like when I was little, it was just Peter Parker from what, I was taught, what was around at that time.
Well, I mean, comic books were covering, extensively at that point, but yet again, we was kids, so.
Right. And say I we
Well, I
didn't
guess technically, even as an adult, I'm still not really into comic books.
No, me either.
I chose video games instead of comic books. I
Yeah.
mean, I know there's people do both, but I just stick with mainly with video games for, obvious reasons, like this podcast.
Right.
But yeah, so the fact that, could see another character, I guess that's could be a route that they wind up taking, is just do a different Spider-Man iteration for each game preceding each one. Because, the first one was obviously Peter Parker, second one was Miles, and then this third one is supposedly so far, which, it's set to leak in 2028. I don't know how Sony or PlayStation is going to react to the actual gameplay being leaked, if they're going to cancel the game now or whatever. Like, the fact that there's gameplay footage, I wouldn't see them scrapping it all the way.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, but Who knows?
But still, 4 years is a long time to really sit down and make something different.
Yeah, I think, I think it'll just stay on track the way it is, personally.
I mean, it couldn't really ruin anything because, you know, people see gameplay footage and they're like, okay, this is interesting. So, you know, that sells itself in a way. Like, obviously, as a company, they're thinking, oh, you know, this sucks that, you know, we don't get to do this ourselves, per se. But at the same time, it's free publicity on their side.
Right.
Minus having to fix their software to get where they don't get hacked is easy, but minus that part.
Yeah.
On to the next one. Grand Theft Auto Mobile on Netflix tops 30 million downloads.
Yep. Downloads for the Grand Theft Auto trilogy on Netflix have reached 30.3 million per a new report from Mobile Gamer using data from AppMagic. The remastered collection of classic GTA games launched on Netflix's mobile game platform in late 2023, which we covered that as well. Back in January, the streamer called the trilogy its biggest game launch to date, with Mobile Gamer then alleging 18 million downloads. As is the case with January, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas is the most downloaded of the three at a reported 20.5 million downloads. Grand Theft Auto Vice City and Grand Theft Auto 3 trail behind at 6.5 million and 3.3 million respectively. Platform-wise, iOS was the dominant between it and Android.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say initially, because whenever you sent it, because I was thinking of the definitive edition on like the Switch and everything. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so it's all free games in one. But I'm like, wait, I was looking at the other day. I was like, no. I was like, that's each and anything. I was just like, there's no way they got 30 million a piece, but 30 million combined makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool that it is, but I mean, I think it's in anticipation of GTA 6, obviously, too.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of older people, you know, played San Andreas and Vice City like us. So, you know, download them to your phone, play them on the go when you have a little bit of time. I mean, why not?
Yeah. I haven't downloaded those ones yet. I did download Boom Tower Defense 6, though.
Did you?
I've been tearing the crap out of that game.
I haven't played that Boom Tower Defense in a long time. I don't play mobile games, though. Like, if I just play, once in a while, you know, I'll play an emulator on my phone or something if I'm bored or have a little bit of time, but I'm just not big on playing games on my phone.
Yeah, which, I mean, I don't really count tower defenses on that variety as, you know, especially on a phone, I do it more like a point-and-click situation, like time-waster game opposed to actual playing a game.
Yeah.
Like a Grand Theft Auto on my phone, basically the same way as, like you said, emulating a game on your phone without the actual true emulator itself. Which, yeah. I mean, I guess to an extent, they are emulated.
Oh, yeah, it's not running on original hardware.
Yeah.
So it is emulated in a way, I guess.
Yeah, just not in a true emulated fashion.
Yeah.
Obviously Rockstar's getting paid from Netflix downloads and vice versa, because that's how their partnership works, I'm assuming. A true emulator is Rockstar's not seeing any money from it anymore.
Right. Yeah. So I'd say that, yeah, Rockstar's still getting their side of the cut with this.
Yeah. Granted, I don't feel bad for actually emulating the games because I own both copies.
Oh, yeah. I have PlayStation 2. I have Xbox 360 versions.
Both games?
No. I do have Vice City, but San Andreas, I have PS2 and Xbox 360.
As if say, I got Vice City on PS2 and San Andreas on the 360.
Grand Theft Auto 3, I've actually never played that game.
Neither have I played 4.
Yeah.
Up.
I played a little bit of 4, not even much of that.
I guess technically I could say I played Vice City up because I even played a little bit of Chinatown Wars. I never owned it, but I did play it.
I didn't play it. I played Liberty City Stories on the PSP.
Basically free.
Yeah, yeah, basically. But and then maybe didn't they have like a Chinatown Stories or something on the PSP too?
Said Chinatown Wars.
Was it? I know, but there was Stories on the PSP. Something Stories. There was two different ones on the PSP. I can't remember if it was. I know it was Liberty City and then something else. I can't remember if it was China or something. I don't remember.
I remember Chinatown Wars, but it was like a top down like the first two.
Oh, no. They were both like Vice City and San Andreas 3D style.
Yeah, Chinatown Wars was like the first two. It was top down.
Yeah, I don't think I would care much for that.
I didn't. I played it because somebody had it on. I can't remember who it was. But they had it on the bus once upon a time and played it with them.
It'd be different. It's different than playing a 2D or 3D Zelda game than it is to a 2D or 3D Grand Theft Auto game.
You're definitely extremely limited on what you can do in Grand Theft Auto in 2D.
Yeah.
It was even like that when they initially came out. Yeah, the whole entire open world aspect was still there. But still makes a world of a difference from 2D and 3D in those style games.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Time Splitters rated for PS4 and PS5.
All right. As first spotted by Jimatsu 2000s, Time Splitters was recently rated in Taiwan. The rating extends to both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 versions of the game, suggesting that it will be part of the PlayStation Plus Classics catalog in the same way that other titles like Sly Cooper and Resistance Retribution are. So I'm not exactly sure how Taiwan does their ratings, but it's auxiliary 15. So I don't know if that's age or not. So if it'd be like a teen type deal, but it's auxiliary 15. So that's the only thing I can think of. Maybe 15 and up or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah,
but that's for both PS4 and PS5. It's the same rating, auxiliary 15.
Yeah, I was initially confused when you sent that last week, which I'm doing some extra research into it right now, just because I was curious about it. But I did do like the old Metacritic score for it, because obviously the true new Metacritic score isn't out, because I can't see where the game's actually like truly released outside of Taiwan, and that article, but. The original one was a 81 on Metacritic for the PS2, and then Time Splitters 2 was a 90 on Metacritic.
You said a 92 and a 90?
And 81 and a 90.
Oh, 81 and a 90.
Yeah, the first one for the PS2 was an 81.
Hmm.
And then I believe the second one was for PS2 too, but...
I think so, yeah. I've never actually played the Time Splitters games.
No, neither did I. And I think they were like considered spiritual successors to like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark.
Yeah, I think so. Like they're similar.
Yeah, gameplay wise, which I mean, honestly, won't surprise me.
No, I mean, we just talked about last night how, you know, GoldenEye's timeless, and you know, of course there's going to be games that are going to come out like it, like Perfect Dark and Time Splitters. And
oh yeah, yeah, we was on another podcast last night. We was with the Terrible Gamers podcast doing one of their episodes with them. We're doing a collaboration. They're gonna, like we said before, they're going to be on episode 100 with us, you know, dishing out news to you guys, which you're not going to be able to see that episode until, I believe, like August 19th, mid-August, I believe. I don't want to put an exact date out there.
Yeah, they pre-record a lot of their episodes. But yeah, we had a lot of fun with them last night and played some GoldenEye, got our hind ends kicked a little bit, but it's all right.
Supposedly, people back in the day said that, you know, GoldenEye was the best shooter of all time, and people still say it to the day, apparently.
Playing it last night, I mean, yeah, I could see it's a good shooter, and of course, we played it a little bit back in the day, but it's not the greatest shooter of all time or anything. Like, I get it, you know, nostalgia, the way it was back in the day, playing before people, shooting each other, whatever, but there's better ones out there nowadays.
And they did agree with us. They agreed that it wasn't the best of all time. So
yeah.
It's not them that said it. It's just their research that they had done on their end of it was saying that people were saying that it was.
Right, and it's.
Granted, Metacritic score wise, it is very arguable.
What was it, 96?
It was 96 on Metacritic 96. Back in the day.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. But now, I don't know if it'd grade that high.
Definitely not. Of course, you know, the other ones being emulated, they're not really getting new scores out for the Nintendo Switch
Online. Oh, yeah. Version. I don't even know if it aged well, you know, just the controls and everything. It's hard to say that it aged well.
Yeah. The controls are definitely different, granted.
You can tell the controls were made for one analog stick instead of two.
Yeah. And for specifically the N64 controller.
Yeah. Not the Pro controller.
Definitely not. We'll just say the kill difference from the guy that actually had the N64 controller to the everyone that was using the Pro controllers were night and day differences.
Oh, yeah. And the stupid inverted controls. Most of the older games had inverted controls, and I know that, and I was used to it back in the day, but playing something now and then going and playing, like, say, Luigi's Mansion, for example, the original one had inverted controls, but I've been playing the second one, and it has normal controls, but I'm used to playing the first one that has inverted controls, so I'm trying to do that in Luigi's Mansion 2, and it's screwing me up. So it's just... it's aggravating just getting used to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely the game showed its age for sure last night.
Definitely. I don't know. I don't even know why games back in the day even had inverted controls. I don't know why they started with that and then switched to normal.
Yeah, I don't know. But if you guys were going to go back and, you know, after hearing us playing, going on, decide to go back and play it yourself, I recommend playing it on the Xbox opposed to the Switch because the Xbox has actually updated controls.
You just can't play multiplayer. It's
online.
Yeah, online.
If you got, you know, four controllers in your house and you got four people, then yeah, you can play multiplayer at your house. But you're not going to play it online like we was doing last night.
Yeah.
At time of recording.
Yeah.
Obviously be a few days ago by the time it releases. All right, sticking with PlayStation, since Time Splitter was technically PlayStation, but we kind of went rambling on GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Beyond Good and Evil 20th Anniversary Update.
Beyond Good and Evil 20th Anniversary Edition launches on June 25th for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC via the Ubisoft Store. And then Steam and Epic Games as well. Amazon, Luna, and GeForce Now, and will be included on day one with the Ubisoft Plus premium subscription, bringing back the groundbreaking classic adventure game with a host of new features. Beyond Good and Evil 20th Anniversary Edition includes updated visuals running at up to 4K resolution and 60 frames per second, updated controls and quality of life features, a new in-game treasure hunt and speedrun mode, and a special anniversary gallery. Additionally, a physical edition and collector's edition will be available through Limited Run Games, with pre-orders opening on July 12th. I'm not going to read the story and crap, but yeah. Beyond Good and Evil 20th Anniversary Edition is on its way and available for pre-order on July 12th.
Did you ever play it as a kid?
No, I think it was a, was it a Games with Gold at one time?
Yes, it was.
I didn't play it, but it's in my library for the Games with Gold.
Yeah, I think I did the same thing in all actuality because I was trying to figure out where I initially heard it before. And I'm just like, well, it says 20 years old. I was like, it says PlayStation. I was like, I don't remember having it for the PlayStation. But now, the fact you brought up with Games of Gold, I was like, yes, I did, because it was for the 360.
Yeah. So, like I said, that's the only reason I even have heard of it is because of Games with Gold. I've never heard of it before that.
Yeah, because I know it's like a girl and like a warthog.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of weird, I guess. I mean, I don't know the story or anything. It seems weird to me, but.
It's, I mean, which I think they got away with using all the old music too, from what the rest of that article that you was reading said.
Yeah, is able to get the licensing and everything for the original music.
So I think I've seen a few people play it on YouTube. It's just I've never sat down and played it. It's seems like an RPG to me, which I could be completely wrong.
I've never actually even seen gameplay of it, so I honestly couldn't tell you.
You know, pre-ordered on Steam.
Are you going to?
I'll put on 360.
Yeah,
Or emulator.
that'll work too.
Yeah,
Let's
it's.
see.
It has nine different parts to it.
Nine parts.
Nine parts of the game.
Is that like the walkthrough or something?
Structures of the works. So I'm assuming that's just chapters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it looked like a cool game. I just couldn't really get down into playing it, or just never got the time back in the day to do it. But yeah, girl kind of looks like a knockoff Laura Croft, and then was like Piglet decided to get in hard drugs.
There you go, yeah.
That could be why I never played it back in the day.
The drugs.
Yeah. All those old commercials, don't do drugs. This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah.
This is Piglet on drugs. Winnie the Pooh is next.
Yeah, probably. All that honey. Somebody's gonna spike his honey one day.
Yeah. All right, you mentioned Luigi's Mansion 2 because of the inverted controllers earlier, but Walmart was canceling orders of it.
Yeah, and they done the same thing with Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. So I'll just read the article real quick. Walmart, which it's the game's already out now, but Walmart was reportedly canceling pre-orders for Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. And then it says Walmart is reportedly canceling. Luigi's Mansion 2 is set to be the next major first-party game release, which I said it released time recording 2 days ago. So just to sum it up, basically nobody knows why Walmart was canceling the orders for Paper Mario or Luigi's Mansion, but my opinion is they probably didn't order enough, if I had to guess. And they sold the pre-orders already, but didn't have enough to fill those orders, so they had to cancel the orders, so because they couldn't meet the expectation or the demand for the pre-orders.
Wasn't the whole point of pre-orders though to have that X amount of numbers and you know what you're going to have?
You're supposed to know what you're going to have, but like that might not even be it, but that's the only thing that would make even a little bit of sense to me on why Walmart would cancel orders is they just don't have enough to fulfill the demand.
Granted, I guess they did do a little right with it to an extent because the impact of cancellations got supposedly a discount code that gives them $25 off their next purchase of $45 or more to make up for it.
Yeah, I've seen that too. But
which, how true that is, I don't know. If you were personally affected, tell us if it's true or not.
Walmart's kind of cheap, so I don't know if they do that or not. Maybe.
That you know firsthand.
Mm-hmm. Don't work there. You'll regret it. And if you work there, I'm sorry.
But you could also let us know if you do work there, if that is true. Well, you probably wouldn't be able to figure it out. Like, no, no. Unless you're like a super high up. That's the only way everyone can tell you if it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Which one do I want to do? Do I want to skip one? Or
The next one shouldn't take too long.
Let's see. But there's only about 5 minutes left.
We can hurry up and say it and then go on to the next one.
All right. Ninja Turtle Splinter Fate release date.
June 18th, 2024. No, that's not it. June 18th, that's already... What? It was June 18th, wasn't it?
No, July 7th. I believe it actually came out in 2023, but it's for the Switch now. The Switch is getting released.
Yeah, this is off Nintendo's website. But I was like, that's not even right.
It's July 17th.
That's okay. Yeah, their website's wrong. I was going to say, that don't even make sense. So July 17th.
Yeah, I think it was, like I said, it came out 2023, but Switch is just now.
Yeah, it was on Apple Arcade.
Gotcha. All right, now on to the next one. Power World is supposedly coming to PlayStation, mainly based off of a hidden tweet. Well, not necessarily hidden, but wordplay.
Not even words, emojis.
Same difference in today's time.
Yeah. The absence of a Power World PlayStation version has been a reason for contention in the community. While the game is currently only available on PC and Xbox, the developers have already announced a Mac port, which is due to arrive sometime in 2024, but a PlayStation port remains elusive. When Power World initially launched in January 2024, there was a lot of clamor from fans to bring the game to PlayStation platforms. And then the tweet that Colin was talking about was one of the developers. I don't have the tweet here, but I'm just going to kind of sum it up. He said there was hearts, different colors for different platforms that the game's on. And he said something about, you know, if had another color, and then he redone the same wording but added two blue hearts along with all the other color hearts to match all the other platforms. So like there was a green for Xbox, white, I'm guessing for Mac, the one that's been confirmed, and then black for, I'm assuming, Steam. And then he added blue for apparently PlayStation, which that's the only thing blue that would make sense. But that's why people were saying that there's a PlayStation port coming. It's because of two blue hearts.
Well, black is PC in general, because Steam is blue too, technically.
Yeah, but it's only on Steam, on PC.
Steam is blue and white, so...
Yeah, but when you think of gaming, you know, blue's PlayStation.
But yeah, it's the initial tweet was, "What's good," I think. Then it was black, green, white, hearts on each side. And then what he basically said, what you said in the paraphrase for the color thing, was that a color or whatever, then added a blue one at the end of each one in the same, I think it's the same order, black, green, white, blue. On that one.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that would indicate it. Like I said, if your whole necessary breakdown is black is PC, green is Xbox, white is Mac. Which, I mean, it's been rumored since January that it was coming.
And you know it's coming eventually anyway.
Yeah.
They're just going to have to work out a deal with Sony, how much Sony gets a cut of or whatever. You know how that is.
Yeah, which, I mean, We said it from the beginning too, if it's cross, which I mean they still haven't made it cross platform for pretty much anything outside of what it is. So I mean Steam still can't play with other actual PC, you know.
Xbox port,
or Xbox. So I think that
they're on the same update version now, they just still not able to cross platform for some reason. But they still say it's coming in the future, just not yet.
Yeah. So I think that also indicates that if PlayStation does come, that everything will be cross-platform then.
Yeah, I think so. That might be what they're waiting on, is to get the cross-platform situated between Xbox and Steam, and then just throw PlayStation in there and have cross-platform PlayStation from day one.
If I'm not mistaken, they just had a new update too, to where you have new PALs, or new PALs are coming.
I know there's a new, I don't know if it's a new island or something, like a new place they just added. New map, maybe? I'm not sure what they called it.
It's been a while since I played it.
I played it just, I downloaded it to my new PC the other day, so I played it just for like 20 minutes. Still fun, but...
Oh, yeah. But the shine definitely wore off pretty quick. It seemed like it was there all of a sudden, and now you got, you know, hidden, not like I said, hidden, not necessarily hidden, messages from their creators.
Yeah, and it'd be more fun if, you know, it's cross-platform and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That way I could use my Steam version to play with your Xbox Game Pass version, but
yeah, time will tell. I mean, like I said, this is still just a technical rumor. I mean, even though the tweet's kind of right dead in your face with it.
Yeah, I mean, from a creator, so
yeah, and they haven't taken it down, so I mean, that's that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen.
And then, like I said, once it does happen, I assume that everything will be cross-platform at that point.
Yep.
If not, I will be surprised.
Yep. I agree.
But that is all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you for watching or listening. Follow our socials on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Discord. We got merch on Redbubble. I think that's it.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate you guys for listening. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Later, guys.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.